we made announcements that everyone should do their utmost to come to Shul today to hear a very important reading, Shabbos Zachor. So much did we want you to come that it wasn't enough to put it in our weekly bulletin, but we even had every person called on their phone tree. And for those that enjoy thinking with their stomach, we even had a special Kiddush in honor of the Shabbos. So can you imagine, you come to Shul and you have no idea what on earth are we about to hear? Zachor, remember. Must be something really important that the rabbi insists that I come to Shul to hear this particular Torah reading. The Torah reading which is considered an actual biblical Torah obligation to hear it. It must be one of the most important fundamental principles of our lives to make every single person hear every single word, every letter of Zachor. And we open up the story. Zachor, remember Eish Asher Asa Lecha Amalek B'derech B'seischem B'Mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way when you were leaving Egypt. So I came to Shul for this? A story? Something which happened thousands of years ago? It's true. Amalek, they're obviously corrupt. They were Rishayim, they were evil people. To sneak up against a vulnerable nation, a weak nation, and attack them from the back, stabbing them from behind. I can understand that they're bad people, but it seems extremely irrelevant. This was thousands of years ago. Why is this such an important reading? Of all the other Torah readings that we must remember, this story, this history lesson of thousands of years ago. When we continue reading this paragraph, one should be extremely shocked when we come to the last pasuk. The pasuk that tells us, Timcha zecher Amalek mitachas ha-shamayim lo tishkach. You, the Jewish people, whenever you come across someone by the name of Amalek, wipe them out. They should be annihilated. Complete genocide of an entire nation. Kill them. Every single one of them. And we're a nation that preaches chesed, gemilas chasadim, kindness, machnas zorchim, biker cholim, v'hatarecha kamocha, caring for and loving every single human being. In the same breath, we're also telling people, by the way, wipe out seemingly innocent men, women, and children. But in reality, this is not my question. And this is not only yours. This question was asked thousands of years ago by our very first king, King Shaul, as we saw in today's Haftorah. The pasuk tells us, "Vayavo Shaul ad ir Amalek, vayorev benachal." That Shaul the king came to the city of Amalek, and he fought in the valley, vayorev benachal. But it doesn't say vayarvu, plural, that he fought them, but rather singular, that he fought one. And that one person was not Amalek, but rather was an inner struggle. It was something which he was questioning by focusing on the laws of a mitzvah which occurs by Nachal, by a valley. Says the Talmud in Masechet Yoma, Al iske Nachal Rav v'donas atzmo. Shaul thought of the mitzvah of the Egla Rufa, the ceremony of Bishvil Nefesh Achas, because of one homicide, an unsolved murder. That what do we do? The Torah says that we measure, and the city which is closest brings this egg out, and there it's killed, and it's brought to the valley. A tremendous ceremony where the Zakanim, the elders of the city, also say that our hands did not spill this blood. Such an incredible ceremony over the loss of one human life. Asked Shaul in his mind, if the Torah is so particular over the life of one human being, that it goes out of its way to focus its attention that we have to have an entire ceremony and procedure because of this one life. Bishvil kol hanafashos ha'elu. How could I wipe out an entire nation of many, many thousands of human beings? Well, kol shekein. Shouldn't the Torah, shouldn't we be certainly particular about such a loss of life? And im adam chet, behema machat. Just if the people sinned, why am I being asked to wipe out even the animals, the livestock, to just completely destroy their nation as though they never existed? And all we need to do is see the rachmim, the compassion that Shaul placed upon Agag, the king of Amalek. That what ended up happening was Agag ended up having a descendant by the name of Haman, that Haman almost single-handedly destroyed all the Jewish nation in a single day. Bikesh laharog abed es kol hayehudim. As we recite in Ahanisim on Purim, that Haman wished and sought after complete destruction of every Jew. And he didn't care their age. It was Minar v'ad Zaken, a little child, an infant, a toddler, a Zaken, an elder. Tafanoshim, women and children. B'yom echad. My father, who's a pharmacist, used to always tell me that if you would have someone come into the pharmacy and you saw that he didn't have a prescription, he gives you a whole bunch of money and says, I need this medicine. And you know that he, unfortunately, is a drug addict. So, by giving him that medication, is that an act of chesed? Well, he's asking for something, and by giving to him, it looks like it's kindness. The reality is, giving that man medication which he does not need, something which is addictive and destructive, is not chesed. It is a form of kindness in your mind. But it's tremendously misplaced chesed to the point that you are actually doing something totally counterproductive for that human being. And you're destroying that human being's life. You're killing him through your chesed. And sometimes, as we see from the story of Shaul, that when a person does chesed, and it's a misplaced form of chesed, by allowing an Agag to live, that chesed could lead to much more destruction in this world. And this is the story of Zohar. But why do we need to know about this? How is it relevant in our lives? There's a very interesting halacha with regard to the reading of the Megillah. The Baal Shem Tov quotes the halacha, Hakare l'mafreya lo yatsa. If a person reads the Megillah backwards, you have not fulfilled your obligation. So instead of beginning by Hibe Me'achashverosh, you begin, for some reason, on chapter 10, and they'll go to chapter 9, and 8, and then chapter 1. That is Hakari L'mafrei Ezel Yatsa. Ask the Baal Shem Tov, what is going on here? Why would anyone, in their right mind, want to read the Megillah backwards, starting from the end and starting off in the beginning? Explains beautifully the Baal Shem Tov that that's not the real meaning of Hakari L'mafreya. When a person looks at the Megillah, as so often many of us do, we come to Shul and we hear the reciting of the Megillah and we think, what a beautiful story of what happened back then. What an interesting story of how the Jews were saved then in that time, in that era. Says the Baal Shem Tov, that is Hakari L'Mavreya. By reading the Megillah, thinking that it only applies to back things which occurred in the past. Such a person is Lo Yotza. Someone who looks at the Megillah in such a way has misunderstood the purpose of its reading. For the Megillah's Esther is not just a nice history book, but rather, if we study it, it's a book of the most current events in history. It teaches us the mistakes that we're making now, the punishments and anti-Semitism that's occurring right now, and what we can do about it to be spared from anti-Semitism and potential genocide, Rahman al-Islam. And this is no great chiddush. We recite in the Haggadah, in Vehi She'amda, that we should not think that it was only Paro in Egypt. Shel Echad Bilvad Amad Aleinu L'Chaloseinu. It wasn't just that generation. Elo Bechol Dor Vador Omdim Aleinu L'Chaloseinu. Every single generation, we have the same problem, where we have someone that stands up against the Jewish people to want to attack us and to want to wipe us off the face of this earth. In the days of Mordechai and Esther, it was Haman Harasha. A Haman who lived in Iran, in Persia, who wished to destroy the Jewish people B'Yom Echad in one day. Today, in 2007, we have another Iranian leader who wishes the exact same thing, to destroy the Jewish people. And I'm referring to the Iranian president, Mohammad Ahmadinejad. He has the same interests, and we should not underestimate the control and power that he has over many. And the words that come out of his mouth with a straight face. It was only about a year ago, in December of the year 2005, where Ahmadinejad said that the Holocaust was just a fairy tale that had been promoted to protect Israel. Furthermore, he said, quote, they have fabricated a legend under the name Massacre of the Jews, and they hold it higher than God Himself, religion itself, and the prophets themselves. Furthermore, he says, there is no place in the world that suffers from divisions and wars unless America or the Zionist fingerprints are seen there. Can you imagine that? A terrorist turns it around to say it's America and it's the Jewish people, the Israelites. They're the ones that are causing divisions and war. Iran's president further said, quote, anybody who recognizes Israel will burn in the fire of the Islamic nation's fury. In other words, America in particular is right up there with Israel for being wiped out. If Israel has to go, according to Ahmadinejad, the U.S. must go as well as any other nation that backs Eretz Israel. This Russia, Yimach Shemo, wishes to wipe out the Jewish people. Kol HaYehudim, Minar V'Adzokin, Taf V'Noshim, B'Yom Echad. All in one day. But it's necessary to understand, why is this happening to us? And the answer is, why did it happen in the days of Mordechai, in the days of Esther? And the Gemara tells us in Megillah on Daf Yud Beis that this was a question that the students of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai asked. Nevneiman nischayvu sineisayin shal Yisrael shibaos ader kalya. Why did the Jewish people potentially die? They almost were going to be killed. What did they deserve such a thing? Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Because in the days of Achashverosh, we showed allegiance, respect, and honor to Ahasuerus, who the Gemara says was a Rasha, wicked individual, by going to his palace and showing a Rasha respect, showing an anti-Semite respect, that itself is destructive for a Jew. And as I mentioned before, as embarrassing it is to mention their name, the Neturei Karka was very much involved in precisely this very same thing. That members of the Neturei Karka attended a Holocaust denial symposium called by Iran's president, Mohammad Ahmadinejad. They went to that man's palace, and they were Nehenem Mesudasa Shal Osa Russia. Says the Gemara, the reason we deserve punishment in the days of Mordechai and Esther is the same reason that we deserve punishment today, to have a similar Russia stand up against us. And the Gemara then continues and gives a different explanation. I'll tell you why the Jews deserve punishment. Because they bowed down to an idol. And some explain that Haman was wearing an Avodah Zarah around his neck, and Mordechai was the only person willing to stand up and say, I am not going to show any respect for this man, for his idols, for his Rasha, for this wicked person. And this is what we teach our children. We teach our children when they come into shul that anytime you hear a Rasha's name, when you hear Haman's name loudly, you will take your grogger, you will bang on the desk, you will bang your feet and make all the noise that you can to show that when a Rasha, his name is mentioned, we will show them no respect. We will not go to their parties. We will not shake their hands. We will not try to compromise, because that ultimately was the downfall then and potentially the downfall now. But the question is, what could we do about it today? How are we able to put in the motion the things to protect ourselves from this Russia, this president of Iran? And again, the answer is we must look at the blueprint of the Megillas Esther. What Mordechai and Esther did then will give us an understanding of what we should do now. Haman looked at the Jewish people, and he understood their flaw. He said to Achashverosh, Yeshno am echad mefuzar u'meforad ben ha'amim. There's a certain people, they're scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your realm. Haman looked at the Jewish people and said, there is no unity among them. Therefore, because they're so spread out, they have cliques, and they themselves are so dispersed, they're so easy to be destroyed. When Esther realized it was her turn to stand up, to do something to protect the Jewish people, to intervene and go to the king, she said, Lech kenos es kol ha-Yehudim. It's necessary that all the Jewish people should gather together. We need to be unified, have achdus, strength in numbers. And by doing so, we are successful in protecting ourselves and defending ourselves before it was too late. But we must not forget the end of Vehisha Amda and our Haggadah. How was it that we were protected from these Rishoyim generation in and generation out? V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yatzilenu Miyadam. Because Hashem intervened and protected us, He saved our lives. But it didn't just happen. The Jewish people fasted. They were sitting in a tinus. They davened with kavana, with intensity. And they did tshuva. And then Hashem answered. Then Hashem assisted. This is a wake-up call for ourselves. We also must dedicate ourselves to improving our teshuvah, our tefillah, our tzedakah, and our tainus. Then Hashem will also be able to save us from this very dark moment in Jewish history. This evening, at the onset of Purim, we will experience a total lunar eclipse. And what's unusual about this total lunar eclipse is that it will be visible to the entire world. As the Jewish nation, we know, is compared to the Levana, to the moon, may we experience a Purim where things are not hidden, where there's no Hester upon him. Rather, may Hashem reveal his abundant power and protect us with his glorious light. La'yehudim ha'isa ora v'simcha v'sasan v'ikar. Good Shabbos.